Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. My name's Taylor Payne and we've got Newcastle United against Fulham today in a return to Premier League action. Fairly decent recent history against Fulham, although they have lost their last two in the league. But Newcastle should be high on confidence after that momentous night against Benfica in the Champions League on Tuesday. Let's catch up with all the action at St James's Park.
Time has just ticked beyond 2 p.m. George does not want to be involved in. He says he has nothing to say about the Newcastle United team, but I find it relatively interesting that Eddie Howe is not unchanged despite it being a winning side that he coming in off the back of a win against Benfica. There is one change. It is only one. And I'm not trying to be clever and speak after the fact, but I did actually predict this, that Joe Linton comes in for Jacob Ramsey, who I suspect Newcastle will give a lot longer to on against Spurs in the Carabao Cup midweek to make sure he gets the appropriate game time he needs after his injury. But I do think he's a little unfortunate. I do think Joe Linton is very fortunate. Joe Linton needs a performance. He has been carrying this knee injury. He did travel halfway around the world with Brazil and had a disruptive flight, but he was poor at Brighton. I don't think we've seen hit the heights, really. He's hit the heights just about in any game so far this season. Beyond that, Jacob Murphy deserves to continue right wing. And Lewis Miley continues in the base of midfield with Sandro Tonali on the bench. I think A, because he considered not fit enough to start given the illness he's been having all week. And B, because Lewis Miley deserves to after a very good performance in midweek to show that there is an alternative as a number six. So, yeah, just the one change to the Newcastle United side. Very strong bench. And hopefully Newcastle can get back to winning ways in the Premier League.
Trippier does in fact hoist it in, and Fontenado looked for all the world like he was going to score again. Guimarães, Newcastle are in the mood, Murphy clatters the post as well, as did Fontenado.
What a start to the game we've had.
Bassi in bother, it's Murphy! And that is wonderfully placed! The opening goal they craved! Gordon slips it through. Jacob Murphy is through once again. And Bert Leno makes the save. And the flag stayed down.
Oh, just put it in the net!
That's inviting mind. And it's off the post and in. Sasa Lukic pounced, and it's 1-1 at St James's Park. Gordon Guimarães, what a huge chance to restore Newcastle's lead, and Bruno Guimarães knows it. 1 minute left of the 90, 6 more to come, and Asula now. Fulham outnumbered. It's all about making the right decision here. Asula, saved by Leno!
What a big, big, big moment that was. Newcastle were heading to a 1-1 draw. They were 14th in the table, and St James's Park was certainly not mutinous, but it was nervy and edgy after Newcastle had taken the lead against Fulham and then conceded a goal to make it 1-1 when up pops Captain Marvellous Bruno Guimarães to fire in a dramatic winner. Very much the opposite to the feeling that Newcastle have had in big games against both Arsenal and Liverpool here at St James's. What a relief that was. And yeah, potentially the moment that kickstarts their season. That will be the hope, of course. Chris is with me. What did you make of that moment? It was a sticky afternoon for Newcastle, it felt to me. They needed something like that, didn't they? They really needed it.
Yeah, I thought that Newcastle were final 20 minutes, I thought they were good in terms of they were pushing for the winner, but they'd got themselves into a very difficult position. They didn't get the second goal when they really could and should have done in the first half. They started the second half poorly, and it sort of just became self-perpetuating for much of the second half. They just felt that the equaliser was coming, and when it did come, Newcastle, it almost sapped the energy out of them, particularly because there was a bit of a reshuffle when Botman went off. So to get to have that moment at the end, Bruno Guimarães scoring in the 90th minute, he'd missed a couple of big chances, but he came back and he got that goal. He's now got 5 in his last 10 Premier League games at St James's Park. He's starting to add goals to his game, which is what Newcastle need from other positions other than Nick Valdemara to get in around him and help. But I think it was also this season Newcastle have lost late here to Liverpool. They've lost late here to Arsenal. They conceded quite late on against Brighton last week. So to have that win feels absolutely huge.
Yes, and I spoke to Bruno about this being a big moment and a couple of other things straight after the game. This is what he said.
We were not in our best, to be fair. But even with the difficulties, we find our way to win the game. Special moment to score in the end as well. We've been punished against Liverpool and Arsenal to lose the game in the end. And today we just find our win to win the game. So I'm very pleased for everyone. It's not easy to play Tuesday and play today again. So, yeah, we have to keep it going. But for today, I'm very happy.
I was going to mention those two late defeats against Arsenal and Liverpool. How painful were those and how different is the mood now?
Feeling completely opposite. When I saw this goal against those teams, we want to kill ourselves in the change room. And today we just want to hug each other. Very happy moment for everyone. We find our way to win. And we have to keep it going.
And you've scored, I think, like 5 goals in 10 starts in the Premier League here. Is there a reason you're scoring more goals? Are you being asked to get further up the pitch to support Nick?
Probably is. The staff has asked me a lot this season to be more in the box. So I was in the right moment and in the right place in the right moment. So I could score. I want to kill myself when I lose the header, to be fair. But I put in mind, if I had another opportunity, I would not miss. And this exactly happened. In a beautiful moment, scoring in the front of the Gallo gate at the end of the game. Whole family is here, mom, dad, wife, kids. So we are very happy. I will have a great night tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, if we go back to sort of the start of the game, it was a bit, I thought it felt a bit odd. Now, there was no pre-match music for like the 10 minutes before the game, which I assumed was deliberate, and maybe it was deliberate. But we've had it a couple of times for Champions League nights where it's almost like let the atmosphere build. To choose to do that, if it was a conscious decision for a 3 o'clock on a Saturday on the bat off the back of a Champions League game midweek, when Eddie Howe had spoken yesterday in his press conference, pre-match press conference, talking about the emotional change, the fact that it's not under the lights, the difference going from Tuesday to Saturday. I don't know exactly the reason behind that, but it felt a little bit flat, and it felt a bit flat within the ground. I never felt it really sort of got going. Newcastle actually then started pretty well, and we keep saying this, they do keep starting pretty well. And within 6 minutes, they'd hit the woodwork twice. Nick Valdemara should have scored, actually. We haven't said that about very often, that he's missed a chance, but he should have scored from point-blank range when a corner came in, sort of headed back across, ricocheted in the area, and he half-volleys it from point-blank range off the inside of the left-hand post. Jacob Murphy rattles the outside of the woodwork from narrow angle from the right-hand side. But in that first half, it felt like both teams had quite a lot of opportunities. It felt like quite an open game, but end-to-end, really.
Yes, it did. Newcastle sort of just not that, you know, dominant force. They allowed kind of Fulham away back into it, I think. You know, we have to pay tribute to Jacob Murphy. He, in the Premier League, remains the only winger with either a goal or an assist to his name. He got both, of course, having provided the assist for Valdemara against Wolves on Valdemara's debut. And, you know, just great anticipation he showed in order to pick off an attempted pass and then run on goal, shoot across goal. Just a great moment. He did, you know, he did hit the post. He also missed a sitter later on. So it was a kind of perfectly Jacob Murphy sort of afternoon, really. But you do have to pay tribute to this guy who, you know, he's a manager's dream. We know that. His attitude is fantastic. He dealt with Anthony Elanga coming in of the summer by doing what he does, which is just welcoming into the fold and, you know, viewing him as competition, another challenge to be overcome. He doesn't complain, he doesn't moan, and I think he's shown his worth this season in a very different way to last season. I mean, it was a, you know, incredible season for him last time, scoring all those goals, creating all those assists for Alexander Isak. you know, this time he's shown the worth of a winger who puts crosses in, who delivers the ball well, and who can take chances. And Newcastle have really needed that. And, you know, they do need other players to step up. So this was the first home Premier League game that Walter Mahler's not scored in. And, you know, again, it's only a handful of touches. It's only a few touches in the box for him. So Newcastle do have to have other people step up. And, yeah, for long stretches of the game, it felt like that was not going to happen.
No, and I mean, in that first half, Nick Pope made a couple of, I wouldn't say they were great saves, but a couple of reasonable saves to keep out Sander Berger at one stage. Traore shot across the box. Emile Smith-Rowe shot from the edge of the area. And Fulham had their openings. They did get in behind Newcastle a couple of times, particularly Sessegnon sort of down the channel between Trippier and Malik Chow. But at the other end, as you mentioned, I mean, Jacob Murphy gets the goal. Really nice for him. I mean, he completely makes that. He nicks the ball from Bassi, and then when Bassi puts Bassi under pressure, presses him and then runs through on goal and finishes in off the left-hand post, almost falling over. It's actually an easier chance which Leno saves a bit later in the half. Really nice move for Newcastle involving Joel Linton to Gordon, lovely ball, right foot ball through the middle to release Murphy, almost identical position, but Murphy seems to almost get confused as to what to do and can't decide whether to shoot, and he ends up giving Leno the chance to save it. But it really felt like Newcastle did miss that opportunity to get a second. When I spoke to Harvey Barnes after the Benfica game in midweek, that's what he said the difference between the Champions League and the Premier League has been. In the Champions League, they've gone on and got that goal. I mean, it took them to the 70th minute against Benfica, but they did it against USG where they managed to get a second goal, and against Fulham they didn't, and it just allowed Fulham to sort of really grow back into the game. At half-time, Marco Silva is proactive. He hooks Smith Rowe, who'd been fairly average, and brings on Kevin, their record signing. I thought he completely changed the game. Suddenly Newcastle had someone who was running at them, someone to think about. They had Traore in the first half, but he's a bit hit and miss. You're never quite sure what you're going to get, quite erratic. With Kevin, he just was direct, and he took on Trippier, tried to get in the gap behind him. And Fulham's equaliser, it sort of had been coming, not in terms of big clear-cut chances, but just field position, territory. The way that Newcastle came out, quite sloppy. They'd been sloppy in the first half. They'd given the ball away a lot. Sven Botman had given it away, and that led to a chance. Lewis Miley had given it away. Nick Voldemort had given it away in a deep position. Kieran Trippier did the same. And when Fulham got the goal, it was Kevin drives down the left-hand side. He whips across to the back post. Raul Jimenez, who scored here last season, changed the game here last season for Fulham, rattles a shot off the underside of the bar. I think Nick Pope may have got a slight touch, but then in the follow-up, we've just seen Sven Botman, actually, I'm just about to talk about. He seems to have stitches in the back of his head or something on the side of his head, because the shot rattles back off the post, and in comes Lukas to head it. And as he heads it, Sven Botman basically heads him. And the fear was it was concussion. Howe said afterwards, it's not concussion, it was a big cut, but it was the right decision for him to come off the pitch. So it's not just that Newcastle conceded that stage and Fulham are back in it, having Newcastle been on top for large parts of the match. They also then have a defensive reshuffle. Howe makes a triple substitution. Fabian Schär comes on, but rather than go left-sided centre-half, as he's played a lot of two seasons ago, it was Malik Chow as a right-footer, moves across to the left-hand side of the defence. Sandro Tonali comes on, having not started due to illness. Still recovering from it, but Howe said that he spoke to him during the game and said, can you come on? Yes, I can. And then the other change was Harvey Barnes coming on, and the substitutes made a big difference for Newcastle, certainly late on. Kevin changed the game from a Fulham perspective, but I thought that then Howe responded and Newcastle's substitutes made sure they did make an impact.
Yeah, it was very much shades of last season in terms of Fulham coming back into a game that they'd gone behind in. You know, of course, last season they went on to win. It had that sort of feeling for a while in the second half. You know, not a good feeling. I agree with you about the substitutes. Both Fulham's and Newcastle's, of course, have to pay tribute to William Asula as well, of course, who came on, ran hard, you know, played in a very different way to Walter Mahler, and it's his shot that draws the saves from Leno that Bruno then follows up. And they needed that sort of directness, didn't they? They need somebody to be running in on goal, creating a bit of chaos. And so that became a very important moment too. Yeah, Newcastle, you know, they have this squad now. They have the ability to make changes. And what they need is for the people who come on to make an impact. And they did do that.
You're right there, and I mean, if you actually, as I mentioned earlier on, Bruno Guimarães had missed a really good point blank header from the front post. Other chances have come on. Anthony Langer come on and had a shot blocked. Newcastle had other opportunities through lots of players in the second half. Tonali had a shot from distance which was blocked. They got into quite a few openings. It was Gordon who set up the Bruno Guimarães chance, but they kept going. They kept looking for the winner, and it wasn't as if they sort of just gave up. I thought they actually progressed and got better as the final 20 minutes came to an end. I thought the goal wasn't going to come, if I'm honest, heading into the injury time, but then that move, the way that we mentioned the substitutes, it was Alanga who nicks the ball on halfway. He forces the mistake in the Fulham defence. Both of Newcastle's goals come from mistakes in the Fulham defence. He nicks the ball. Asula then carries it on, advances deep into the towards the Gallagher end, runs across the box. I thought he'd taken it too far. He takes a left-footed shot from the edge of the area, which Leno does well to save, but he can only parry. Tonali does a little sort of block on a defender to stop him from getting there because he sees that Bruno's coming in, and Bruno comes and finishes it. And I asked Eddie Howe about what it was like to finally be on the end of a last-minute winner rather than a last-minute concession.
Well, it's the best way to win. It's the best way to win for us, the players and the supporters, because it's dramatic. It's just gives you so much more belief winning that way. I'm not saying that's the way I want to win, but you need to find a way to win depending on the scoreline. And as you say, we've had the heartbreak of the goals going in against us. We've done a lot of talking about how we manage the latter part of games, and delighted to see the players get their rewards. Yeah, I mean, Bruno, I've spoken about him many times, but the player and the person together is a very special thing. I mean, his will to win, his drive, his determination to be successful is there for us every day. His professionalism to prepare himself to play is of the highest level, and I always think you get your rewards if you do that. And 90th minute, he's still going. How he's ended up in the box in that moment, I'd love to see back, because there must have been a moment where he's had to put the burners on and sort of foresee what's going to happen. But that's down to his motivation. So he's a very special player, and as I say, a special person, and we're lucky to have him.
They were actually, you mentioned 14th, I think they were 15th before the goal in the live table. They are 11th. Obviously, that could change significantly. There are a lot of teams and games still to be played, but they did look like they were being cut adrift from those Champions League positions. Currently, as things stand right now, they're only 3 points behind fourth-placed Bournemouth. They had 18 shots to Fulham's 12, 7-5. It was 2.5 XG to Fulham's 1.48. 36 touches in the opposition box to 25. But going into the final 10 minutes, it wasn't like that. Fulham's XG was actually marginally better than Newcastle's until Asula came on the pitch and things started to change. Weirdly, there's this weird start that Newcastle's record at this point of the season is identical in terms of 1-3, drawn 3, lost 3. As it was after 9 games of last season, only they've got a marginally better goal difference. It's hard to compare season on season, George. But what I mean, where do you think we stand now? Given Newcastle's Premier League season feels a bit stop start. Is this late winner the thing that's going to really actually change those statistics?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously what we have to hope for. It's only the second time, of course, that Newcastle have put back to back wins together in the overall. This season in all competitions, but it's 4 wins out of 5. Now the exception was the loss at Brighton, which was pretty disappointing. But that's kind of beginning to look a bit like a consistent run of results. What they're not being is overwhelming. I mean, yes, the Champions League games were good and solid victories against, I think it's fair to say, lesser opposition than they'd be facing in the Premier League. But that begins to kind of look a bit better. Last season to this season is very, very different. Last season, it was an unsettled dressing room, and it was Howe repeatedly having to press the reset button. There were kind of a spell of some decent results, poor performances, then that flicked around. But it wasn't, you know, Newcastle's dressing room wasn't a healthy place. Things were less healthy off the pitch, you know, for reasons we've talked about a lot. And it's not like that this time. The dressing room is a good place. It's united. Isak left. The people who are here want to be here. That has been, talked about a lot, both in public and in private. And, you know, it's much healthier off the pitch too, with new people coming in at the top of the club. They're people who are making a fuss of Howe, are keeping him involved, keeping him in the loop, keeping a real sort of connection to every levels of the club. So things are in a good place at the club, but what they need is, it's that old story, they need to find a way of playing. They need to find a way of making this transition to a new forward better and more compelling. And you know, they need to find a way that if Walter Mondo's not scoring, for other people to score. So, I mean, it's tricky. You know, you look at them, you're not getting the sense that this is a perfect team playing out perfect matches. They're not. They're still trying to work each other out. But if they're able to kind of get results, which they certainly have done in the past few weeks, then that's, you know, then they're more than halfway to being a decent team, which is what I kind of described them as last week, you know, in the Champions League. It's also really important. They've now won two home games in a row. There's another one to follow against Spurs. That's big. You know, they want to stay in the Carabao Cup for as long as possible. They want, you know, it's a trophy they want to defend. And yeah, it's about picking up momentum. And if nothing else, you know, that I don't think they have fluency, but I think they can now claim to have a bit of momentum. And that is, you know, that really is of vital importance.
I mean, we have that memory of Bruno Guimarães scoring that late goal against Leicester City at the end of his first season, the season that Newcastle stayed up, and that sort of become a bit of an iconic image. I don't think this is quite equitable in terms of where Newcastle are in the season, but at the same time, it feels like the hope is this has to be a big moment, that they found a way. This wasn't ideal performance by any stretch. Eddie Howe said afterwards he thought they were okay, but start the second half in particular, I thought they lost their way a little bit. And they're going to have to, over the course of this season, given the volume of matches they have, given that change between Champions League and the heightened emotions, and then reverting back to the Premier League, quote-unquote run-of-the-mill 3 o'clock kickoffs against Fulham, they're going to have to find those reserves. They're going to have to find something different. And even if they're not playing at 100%, which you can't expect them to all the time, they need to just find a way to win. And they've done that today. As we say, it could have looked a heck of a lot different if that had been a draw, or if they had conceded late on against Fulham. Suddenly, I think you'd be really worrying about their Premier League position. Instead, they go to West Ham in the Premier League next weekend, and they've got Brentford away, two games that you look at. And although Newcastle's away form hasn't been great, you couldn't really ask for two kinder fixtures in some ways than those two, particularly West Ham next weekend. So that's us signing off from St. James's Park. The next podcast for Pod on the Tyne Extra Time subscribers will be after the Spurs match on Wednesday, and we will then have our usual free-to-air midweek podcast probably Thursday going into Friday ahead of the big game at the weekend away at West Ham. So thank you very much. That's us signing off from St. James's Park with the lawnmowers going along the pitch in the background.
Have a great night tonight.